Tom Hitzkus celebrates Wednesdays with the Don. Get the inside story from the Mavs coach and GM on the team and the NBA every Wednesday at 10:10. Brought to you by Van Chevrolet and Sports Radio 1310. The Ticket.
9:34 on Sports Radio 1310. I'm Big Dick, and this is the P1 Wild Ass Circus, broadcasting live from Hooters at Town East Boulevard and 635 in Mesquite. We are live from here each and every Tuesday night from 8 to 10. We encourage you to come out and join us. And when the broadcast ends, the party doesn't. We hang around, and last time we had a big old political debate right in the middle of Hooters. It was great. So come out and hang out with us, and we will enjoy your company, and hopefully you'll enjoy ours as well. All right, our P1 guest hosts are here. Megan, Rockabilly Dave, making his debut on the show. Mark, our little boxing buddy, and Neil, who loves the jam bands. He is also here. Hey, real quick, before we get into who has jumped into the presidential election all of a sudden here, although this may not be a big surprise to some, at 9:10 tomorrow night, we're going to be joined by Mike D., who has been a frequent contributor to our show in the past, and also a guy that he works with who is a minor league prospect in the Cleveland Indians organization. Now, the reason that we're having him on is because he has been in the Cleveland farm system and played on the same team as the Asian gay porn Indians pitcher that is my favorite baseball player, just for that fact. So he will join us to, this is as close to getting the Asian gay porn pitcher on as we have been able to do so far, because, Turley, you've worked on it, but so far they're not real excited about that idea.
Yeah, I guess he had made his statement a couple weeks ago.
And I remember
That was all the media he's going to do. And I was asking, well, can we just talk to the interpreter maybe, just something to that extent. He's like, no, nothing with the interpreter, nothing to that anything to that
well,
extent.
Well, that's unfortunate. So. You know, the Cleveland Indians ought to be milking this thing for all it's worth, so to speak.
You know what? If he makes the roster, it's going to be interesting, because you can't really prevent anybody from asking the question to go in the locker room.
So. Right.
That'd be great if they come when they come to town.
I know. That might actually get me out to a Ranger game this year. I'm not sure what else will, but if the Cleveland Indians gay porn pitcher is in town, you can bet I will be there.
Yeah, I wonder what the bobblehead would look like for him.
See, that's what I mean, Dave. They need to be working every promotional angle with this that they can. Oh, it's a genius idea. Why aren't you working for the Cleveland Indians? All right, so Ralph Nader jumps in the presidential election. Just as it seems like things are starting to narrow down for the general election between John Kerry and, of course, the sitting president, George W. Bush. You still have John Edwards there in the mix. But all of a sudden, a guy who was a Green Party candidate in the last election and a guy who many Democrats fought with siphoning off enough votes in Florida to cost Al Gore the presidency is back in. Ralph Nader will turn 70 next month, so he'll certainly be the oldest guy running and creating controversy once again now that he's back in the election. However, not running as the Green Party's nominee, this time as an independent. I'm always torn on these because fundamentally, I want everybody to participate in the process as much as they can. I really do. I want everybody to vote, no matter who they're voting for. I would never want someone to not vote as opposed to voting for the guy that I'm opposing. But at the same time, the spoiler alert
kind of
goes on.
And actually, that's Nader's argument, is that we have a two-party system, and there's a lot of people that may be looking for an independent candidate, a third choice, which I completely agree with. But, Nader, where have you been? The Democratic candidates have been fighting it out. There's been a lot going on with the war, the Patriot Act. Now, today, we have this gay marriage thing come up. And Nader just, it's like, he's a great guy. Every interview that I've seen with him, I've totally agreed with. But what I don't agree with is he seems like he's the guy that can tell everybody what's wrong with the country and what we need to fix. Then when it's time to fix it, he's like, oh, well, I need to go get some lunch. Y'all kind of sort it out, you know?
Yeah, I also think there's a mentality, too, where when you have been this alternative candidate, especially more than once in the past, and so many people are expecting you to do this again, that it really becomes this decision that's almost independent of whether or not you want to actually seek the presidency. It becomes this decision about whether or not I'm going to make a statement for my cause, whether or not I'm going to basically become the protest vote. And I think what's going to make that difficult, particularly for a lot of Democrats to swallow, is that the protest vote is the one that they were planning on casting
right.
for someone else other than him.
And the thing, if he was serious about wanting a viable option to the big two parties, then it seems like he'd spend 24 hours a day trying to develop an alternative to it rather than doing some kind of ego trip 9 months before the election.
Yeah, and the other thing is, too, this also, now that the field is narrowed, whereas before he might have been one of many candidates involved in a debate, he sees an opportunity, if in fact he gets allowed in on any of the debates, to be one of three guys up there.
Well, and for someone so brilliant, I mean, and he is brilliant, he's a great guy, for someone like that to be running as a complete independent, not even on the Green Party, he won't even be on all of the ballots in all of the states. It doesn't make any sense whatsoever. I mean, is he working for Bush or something? I mean, because everyone is united that's voting for Bush. The people that aren't voting for him are going to split their votes between, you know, the Democratic candidate, the Green Party, Nader, and it's just...
Well,
it doesn't make any sense, really.
Like I said, I'm certainly not going to begrudge him his right to run, because I really believe in everybody being involved in the political process. But at the same time, I guess it depends on what the greater accomplishment is you want to achieve. And I have one particular accomplishment in mind I would like to achieve in November, and he may be getting in the way of it. All right, let's talk at 9:41 on Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket. Let's talk about Mark Cuban's latest plans. There's a guy who likes me a lot. Now, Mark Cuban, owner of the Dallas Mavericks, has now decided to get into the realm of reality television. He is going to have a show on ABC. It is called The Benefactor. It is anticipating airing this summer, and the deal is basically this. It's almost like a combination of that Donald Trump thing and Win Ben Stein's money, I guess, because Mark Cuban puts up $1 million of his own money. He is not being paid for this, and it is up to him to determine how the contestants, and there should be about 30 of them, will compete to win $1 million. Cuban says that it is based, the premise is simple. It is, quote, "What will you do for $1 million?" Now, as someone who saw firsthand the "What would you do to play in charity challenge" contest, you better be careful that this thing doesn't go homoerotic, because that's what happened at Ticket Stock a couple of years ago.
Well, and he's saying it's not going to be like Fear Factor. You're not going to eat gross things or have to do outrageous stunts like jumping off a building or anything to that extent. So, to me, it kind of sounds interesting because it's kind of spitting in the face of reality TV. It's where it's not, you know, all reality TV is not really reality TV.
Mm-hmm.
It's all tricked up games.
Right.
Where this is like, you know what? You have to somehow just impress me. Maybe just by kissing my ass all the time or whatever. Just something that has impressed me.
When I heard about this, I was thinking that Mark maybe better tap the brakes a little bit, just because The Apprentice, I'm actually addicted to The Apprentice. I think it is brilliant. And part of the reason
I just
can't
stand Donald Trump enough.
Well, see, I think that Trump has undeniable charisma, and that is the biggest thing that Cuban is lacking in. Cuban has a big nerd factor, and definitely, like, he's definitely attention-getting, but I'm not sure, you know, there's some programs where you watch the first episode, and, you know, because you're trying to see it, you know, it's a train wreck, you can't look away kind of thing, but I'm not sure if Cuban can really sustain, you know, a whole series or something.
I think it's like,
I mean,
six episodes.
Follow me?
He might be able to sustain it for six episodes.
I'll be interested.
I think he's a
pretty charismatic guy. He's affected me that way in the past. Now, I don't know that, like, his television show was necessarily the best vehicle for this. It will probably help him that he will have, you know, national network producers working with him and this sort of thing. I ask for one thing. I want it to be mean.
Is this?
Yes.
Is this going to start in the fall?
In the summer.
Okay. It kind of begs the question, who looks more like Frankenstein, John Kerry or Mark Cuban?
Would be a different reality show.
Sorry.
Yeah, that would be a different one.
Plus, it'd be nice to be in that position to say, if you amuse me, I'll give you $1 million,
right,
too.
Must be nice.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. All right, now, quickly, on the other side of the Mavericks coin, this has been talked about a lot today, so I don't want to spend too much time talking about it, but I'm sure if anybody was listening to The Ticket at all today, they heard the controversy that had erupted at the instigation of a Houston Rockets beat writer who wrote about something that allegedly happened in Saturday's game at the American Airlines Center between the Dallas Mavericks and the Houston Rockets. When Humble Billy Hayes, 93.3, the Bone Crazy Morning Guy, and also Dallas Mavericks PA announcer, was allegedly announcing the name of Yao Ming using a mock Chinese accent. Now, sure. Billy was on with the Hardline earlier today saying this absolutely did not happen. I talked to Billy right after that, actually, in the famed cubicle area.
Yeah, his cubicle is really nice, too.
He has an excellent, very beautiful cubicle. But I talked to him about it for a bit, and he has basically told everyone that will listen that this did not happen. Now, maybe where the controversy really didn't go away is the fact that Mark Cuban was quoted as saying that this matter had been dealt with internally. Actually, the quote was in the morning news. That's something we deal with internally, and it's nobody's business but ours. Now, see, I read that quote a little, and he also said that we have addressed it internally. And I told Billy, I said, I think that's what, if anything, what has kind of kept this going, even after Yao Ming said he didn't hear anything, and there's no officials who say they heard anything and all this sort of thing, is because Mark Cuban is no stranger to controversy in the press, that the press is always looking for anything that he says. They're always trying to read between those lines a lot more closely than they are with other people. So when he says, hey, we have addressed it internally, then the press says, address what internally?
Yeah, there had to be something to address.
Exactly. If there wasn't anything. And rightfully so. Maybe there's a reason that they say that. But, you know, I was thinking this. I mean, Billy, between he was kind of taking a risk there because I'm sure he was told not to address it at all, but it seemed like by the afternoon he really felt the need to defend himself with the hard line, and that was fine. You know, Billy's a nice guy, and I think that I think that when people deny, typically anyway, when people deny things that they really did, they don't deny it to absolutely everyone. You know what I mean? They'll put some denial somewhere so that that can kind of be attributed to them. But I thought, you know, gosh, if Billy really did it, he pretty much told me and the Hardline and everybody else that was around that he didn't. And it seems like if you have an arena full of people and there's pretty much only one guy saying he heard anything, shouldn't the story just probably just go ahead and go away?
Yeah.
Probably. I mean, it's just oversensitive. It's just oversensitive, don't you think? Like, you know, with that Cowboys and George Denham and the laughing and the cats meow.
Yeah,
for the Carolina game. Isn't it just a little bit oversensitive? I mean, I'm sure people are, you know, Chinese people are...
Yeah. In our politically correct America, everybody's looking for controversy. Nobody's really offended by it, but people want to have an article, something to write about that they are offended by.
What's odd, too, is that I remember when Wang Zhuzhu was here, they would play the gong every time he came off the bench.
Well, that's because he was our Chinese guy. Right. See, he's different.
We can rag on our own Chinese guys, I guess.
I thought the strangest thing to come out of the whole deal really was the Yao Ming quotes when he was asked whether or not he had heard anything Saturday night, and he said he hadn't heard anything. Yao said, quote, "I didn't hear it or I wasn't listening to him. If I heard it, I think I would have some thoughts. Right now, I'm not too happy." Then he continues, "There are all kinds of people out there. It's a big world. There are lots of branches on the tree and many kinds of birds." When he was asked what sort of bird would feel the need to make fun of where he was from, Yao said, "It's a new type of bird. I've never seen it."
God. It's very wise of Yao. Sounds like Confucius.
Confucius says,
I want to stand next to Yao at my next fish show and talk to him about, you know, philosophy and different things that I'm experiencing and stuff, because he sounds like he really has some insights on what's going on.
You think Yao would be a lot of fun at a fish show after he dropped a couple of hits?
Yeah, he'd be like, you know, because you may not understand what he's saying anyway, which is just
but
fine.
But then you might,
you might later,
you
might know. Yeah, he could be speaking in tongues for all you know, you know?
Well, there is just over 1 minute left in the Dallas Mavericks game against the L.A. Clippers. Mavericks up 112-84, a close one out at the American Airlines Center. Can the Clippers come back? We'll find out next on Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket.